Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm here in Watford with Neil Harrington, our Finance Director. What I'd like to do is take you through the statement we put out this morning, review the main points of our trading updates, and spend some time on our strategy that we're announcing today. We'll then be pleased to answer any questions you may have. First of all, looking at our overall worldwide sales network, which is up 4.5% for the fourth quarter. This was driven by an 18% growth in international retail sales, is in line with both the recent run rate and previous guidance. International space grew by a very encouraging 23% as a result of opportunities in both new and existing markets. We opened a net 134 stores outside the UK, which brings us to 1,028 stores in 58 countries. Now turning to the United Kingdom, where trading conditions remain challenging. We've made good progress with the ongoing rationalisation of the store portfolio in the year, ending with 311 stores through the net closure this year of 62 stores. We've also renegotiated leases on 27 stores at preferential rates. UK like-for-like sales were down 8.2% in the quarter, reflecting our decision to clear excess Christmas stock last year. We highlighted this at our Q3 trading update in January. Total UK sales were down 9.5%, reflecting the ongoing store closure program. Our gross margin guidance remains unchanged, which means we're on track to meet consensus profit expectations for the full year. Let's turn now to the transformation and growth strategy. A great deal of work has been done on this since November of last year. We launched a structural and operational review, appointed a new chief executive, closed a significant number of underperforming stores, and commenced the consultation program to streamline our head office function. We've also introduced immediate initiatives aimed at improving value and service for our customers. I believe today marks the beginning of a three-year transformation of Mothercare, and we have four cornerstones of the new transformation and growth strategy. And these are, first of all, lean retail, with a reduction of UK central costs and better buying to be amongst the best in class. Secondly, to restore UK profitability, with a focus on 200 profitable stores to offer mothers improved value, competitive product ranges, and an enhanced customer service experience. The third cornerstone is an acceleration of international expansion, with more store openings in both new and existing countries overseas. And fourthly, taking multi-channel worldwide, launching a combined online and in-store customer options with a new website here in the UK and 30 new websites overseas. There are two important elements of the strategy that are finalised, which I'm going to go into more detail right now. First of all, the cost reduction programme. We are right-sizing our overheads to fit the new, smaller UK operating base. Cost reduction has already commenced, and we've identified savings in non-store overhead costs of at least £20 million on an annualised basis. We've commenced consultation to reduce UK head office payroll by 16%, which will result in a more simplified and efficient central structure. Secondly, is the reduction of the UK store portfolio. And we are reducing the store base in the United Kingdom to a profitable core of 200 stores by March 2015. These 200 stores will enable us to retain national coverage with two-thirds of the population within a 30-minute drive of a store. We currently have, right now, 311 stores, and will therefore be closing another 111 over the next 3 years. 36 of the closures will be mother care, and 75 will be early learning centres. This will leave us with 173 mother care and 27 early learning centre standalone stores. In addition, we have already put early learning centre stores into over 100 of our larger mother care stores. And of the 62 stores we've closed this year, 3 have been mother care and 59 have been early learning centre. On an annualised basis, this store closure exercise is expected to improve UK profits by £13 million by March 2015. I'd now like to turn to the new financing that we put in place to deliver the plan. Yes, we do require a cash investment of £35 million to fund the UK store closure and cost reduction programme. Our two existing banks have increased the level of committed facilities from £80 million to £90 million and extended the term to the end of May 2015. In addition, given the additional cash investment required, the board has concluded that the company will not pay a dividend until the transformation and growth strategy is delivering benefits. To summarise, these facilities further strengthen the group's financial position and provide additional liquidity and covenant headroom to accommodate the new three-year strategy. In conclusion, the new plan we've outlined today will deliver a lean and profitable UK business within 3 years. It will also see an acceleration of international growth. The board has led the review so far, but it will be Simon Calver as our new CEO as our plan to implement it. So with that in mind, Simon will be presenting his detailed plan at the prelims in May. I'd now like to sort of hand over to you, Faye, for questions and answers. Back to you, Faye.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. And our first question comes from the line of John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning all. Just a couple of questions to get us going. Just starting off on gross margin, can you confirm what the full year 2012 gross margin drop is like to be overall? Second question, just in terms of the cost of exiting the additional stores, can you maybe just let us know how much that £35 million is actually going into buying out leases? And also in the calculation of the £13 million, is that just straight losses, or is there an element of sales transfer in there to sort of to get to that improved EBIT figure?
Why don't you take it, Neil?
Okay. Hi, John. Well, on the gross margin, the 2012 drop is 500 basis points, which is what we said at the third quarter, so it's in line. It was obviously worse than that at the end of Q3 and picked up in Q4 because of the sort of tight control over stock, particularly compared to last year. So we had an improved performance in the fourth quarter, but the overall margin for the year is in line with previous guidance and in line with expectations. On the second part of that, the £35 million exceptional cost, that's going to be spread over 3 years, around about £20 million in year one, 2013. Of the total cost of £35 million, approximately £25 million is in getting out of the stores and £10 million is delivering the £20 million worth of central overhead savings that we referred to in the notes, in the statement. And the final...
It looks like, is that roughly sort of, it looks like a couple of million a store then?
We're going 111 stores, so
is this for the, sorry, just to understand that the cost there, is sort of there's an incremental 50-60 stores announced this morning?
That's right, yeah.
Is that we, right, yeah? So
yeah, we previously were going to get down to a base of 266. We've now done a much more sort of in-depth review based on current trading and looking at the locations of the stores around the country. We've decided that 200 is the right number for the UK. Two-thirds of the population of the UK will be within 30-minute drive time of these stores. It's the right, and they're currently the profitable stores. So we're reshaping around the profitable core. So where we are today, 311 stores, we'll be getting down, closing 111, as Alan said, to down to 200, and those stores currently make a combined loss of 13 million, so that's what we're saving, because there's no sales transfer assumed in that number.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ethan O'Leary from Oriel Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Ethan O'Leary from Oriel.
Hi.
Just wondering, in relation to pricing, whether you're satisfied with the current pricing architecture or whether we should expect further gross margin investment next year and the year after.
Yeah, I think, as Alan said, we've got a number of work streams going on here, and we're talking about the cost reduction and the store out exercise, which is what requires funding today, needs to be announced. There are a lot of other work streams that we refer to in the statement that are carrying on and being finalised over the next few months, and we'll be going into a lot more detail in May. But clearly, those are all around stabilising like-for-like sales in the UK and improving the gross margin performance. So those are the things that go hand in hand with the cost out programme. So there are a lot of initiatives being finalised, and one of them is looking at our pricing. We've done a lot of work preparing our pricing to others. We've got a new price strategy going in that will require some investment. We're not talking about that today, though. It's not quite finalised. We're still doing some testing, but we'll be in a position to talk about that in a lot more detail in May. So we won't be getting a lot more information from us on that today, I'm afraid.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Sanjay from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Morning. A few morning. Questions. First, in terms of net debt at the end of FY12, could you give us an indication of where you expect that to come in? Around 25, 26 million somewhere, Alan?
Hi, Sanjay. Yeah, it'll be about 20 million net debt. It's probably worth noting, though, that we've got our 53rd week, which is always a joy this year, and that has worsened our underlying cash position slightly. Because in the 53rd week we've made another rental payment, so we've made five quarterly rental payments in the year, and some other payments to go out as well. So it's made our cash position slightly worse. So we're pretty pleased with the underlying cash position, which is probably about somewhere between minus 5 and minus 10 on an underlying basis if you do the 52 weeks. So that's relatively low drawing on the previous facility. The highest point of drawdown in the year was 40 million on the 80 million of facilities. So the funding is really all about being able to draw fully on the previous facilities and extending them by another 10.
Okay. And is there an increased cash cost in terms of the refinancing and the terms of that?
Yeah, there will be because we'll be drawing much more heavily on the facility.
Yeah.
And the margins now are the interest costs are higher than they were previously, and we've also extended out a year, so interest costs go up if you're borrowing years more money. I would work on the interest cost going up from about one and a bit million this year to probably two and a half next year.
Okay. All right. And I know you can't give us too much in terms of the sales trajectory over the 3-year period, certainly not on a like-for-like basis, I guess. That will come in May. But in terms of the phasing of store closures, can you help us with that at all?
Yes, of 111 stores that we're closing, we'll do roughly 50 in FY13, and then 30 and 30, which is one short, isn't it? 31 and 30.
Okay. All right. And just finally, on international, you mentioned an accelerated pace of growth internationally. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, it's Alan again. Yeah, we've opened over 130 new stores net in the last 12 months. I want to see our increase in stores, in at least 20% per annum going forward. Simon will be talking more about that and how we're going to achieve it, which countries, etc. But it's both in existing countries where we have to expand our network in China and India and Russia. Mm-hmm. And new countries, particularly in Latin America, which is a new continent for us. Can I just come back to your point about like-for-like sales? This is a strategy which does not rely on like-for-like sales increase. This is a self-help strategy. I see the economy in the UK remaining challenging for the foreseeable future. If like-for-like sales return due to better economic growth, etc., then that's great. and that will be in addition to the assumptions that we've made, what this growth and transformation, particularly the transformation fit in the UK, assumes is a profitable base of 200 stores. If these actions had been taken, say, 12 months ago, and we had 200 stores and a lower UK cost base, we would have a profitable UK business today.
Okay. Just to clarify on that, because if we're talking about an improvement in UK profits of 13 million and cost reductions of 20, so let's say 33, 35 million of benefit from the strategy, and given the loss position that you're starting from, that does imply you need like-for-like sales actually to get back into anywhere close to historic levels of profitability in the UK, doesn't it?
I think, as Alan said, when we set out the plan, the objective is to get the UK not back to historical levels of profit, but to get the UK into a profitable position.
So that's what we're talking about. Well, the strategy is not posited on like-for-like sales in order to get back into a profit.
That'll be the icing on the cake. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because international is going so strongly, what we need to do is turn the UK around so it makes initially the basic objective is to make a profit within a 3-year period, and then if we can grow that any better, focusing on more international growth.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Adam Cochran from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My question is really on the international websites. You mentioned sort of 30 new websites. How does that conversation work with the international franchise partners, and how does that really tie into your increasing the sort of the run rate from international within the existing countries, maybe more stores? Does that really tie in with the fact that you're putting down websites in these countries as well, please?
Yes, I mean, the website is part of the overall franchise offering and agreement. So this isn't separate to the franchisee which is running the stores. In fact, what we see is a multi-channel approach. We see click and collect and store comparisons and ordering online. So this is not a separate in any way channel. This is a holistic approach in each market. And each market, we're taking them on a priority basis, with our franchisees, our biggest franchisee, the Alshaya Group in the Middle East, have already launched a website, in fact, in Kuwait. They're about to launch one in Russia. The Russian one clearly has much more potential. But we don't see it cannibalizing the in-store offering. We see it in addition to and being able to expand our reach in a multi-channel approach.
In terms of the sales that are made online, they're just part of the franchise agreement. They're not more profitable for you or less profitable. They just increase the overall sales base. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ben Hunt from Oriel Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just wondering if you've seen any impacts or what the impact has been where you have closed stores. On stores nearby in terms of sales transfers?
Yes, that's one of the things that it's repetitive, but we'll be talking a bit more about next time. But we certainly have seen a transfer, and one of the things we've been working on really hard and testing over the last 6 months is where we close a store, and we close 62 in a year, we'd be looking at trying to maximise that sales transfer. So we are seeing a sales transfer. It's impossible to be... it's impossible to be too specific about it because it sort of depends. If we're closing an early learning centre that's half a mile away and putting it in a mother care out of town, we tend to get a very good sales transfer, more than half. If we're closing a store in a town with no other stores, transfer to the internet tends to be very low, low single digit. When we're talking about we've got a programme in store closure in order to transfer that. First of all, to nearby stores, secondly, to the internet, and thirdly, to our wholesale partners that might be in that town. So if it's an early learning centre that's closing, and don't forget the majority are early learning centres, and we have wholesale arrangements with Boots and Debenhams, for example, in those town centres. So we do get some sales transfer, we need to maximise it, and we're working through a plan.
Great, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of David Geary from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, David.
Quick question on the UK market. And I just wondered what your perspective was of what's happening to the broader UK market and whether that implied you were losing market share. And if that is the case, where is that share going? You know, who are the competitors who are being particularly hurtful, if you want, to your sales base at the moment?
No, I've said that in the statement that the UK market remains challenging, and I do see it continuing that way for the foreseeable future. In terms of market share, we are holding our market share. In fact, we have a margin improvement in home and travel. So I'm afraid I can't answer the last part of your question because we're not losing market share and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, we are losing market share in toys because we're closing a lot of stores, and that's planned. We're losing unprofitable market share, but no, home and travel, we're very pleased. Very pleased with the other categories.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please be reminded, if you do wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. And we have a question from the line of Peter Smedley from Charles Stanley. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. I apologise. I joined fairly late, so if the question has been answered or posed to you, I apologise. But just one, please, on multi-channel. I posed this question back in November, but I'd appreciate what is your considered assessment of your multi-channel capabilities now? You say the new website's on track for launch in H1 in the UK. But my understanding from back in November was that the new website was going to be launched before that. I understand, obviously, the platform that's being put in place, but I just wonder whether you could give a more considered holistic assessment of your multi-channel capabilities as it stands now.
Our assessment of our current multi-channel capabilities is that it's poor. It's been doing negative growth in the UK for the last 12 months. And is one of the key planks in the transformation growth strategy is to turn that around. There are a number of areas that we're focusing on direct in the UK. The most important, as you pointed out, is a new website. It's on track for H1. It's always been on track for H1. The development is going well. The site's in testing. We're very pleased with it. It delivers a lot of things that the previous Amazon website, which is at the end of its useful life, doesn't do. Search engine optimization being one of them, videos, navigation, just a lot of the things you'd expect. That mean our current website conversion is very low. These will be fixed with a new platform. So that is very important to us and is on track. We'll give you a lot more information about that in May, but we're very pleased with that. The second area is the team. We've strengthened the team quite considerably. Mike Oates got a lot of experience in this area and has brought in some very good people. So we have one of the best teams now who are going through sorting out all of the issues in the multi-channel program. And thirdly, our fulfillment has been poor over the last 6 to 12 months, and we've got a very positive action plan there to improve that fulfillment over the Christmas period where it was poor last year. So the assessment is that we've been falling behind, but we've got a very strong plan in place in order to turn that around, and that's a key part of the transformation plan.
Thank you for that very candid assessment, Neil. I appreciate that. And if I just may, just as a follow-up, can we assume that when Simon arrives and obviously presents the finer detail of the transformation and the growth strategy, that broadly we will have the key planks are as they are stated here, and obviously it'll just be a question of finer detail, or can we see him taking a much more holistic review over and beyond what you've already done here, and so we should just be concentrating and thinking about these four elements as stated today, the four cornerstones of your transformation and growth strategy. Thank you for that.
Yeah, what I've done is I kept clearly Simon totally appraised of and involved in the conclusions that we are near finalization of the strategy. And Simon is totally committed and on board. I think what Simon will be doing is the hard bit, which is actually delivering the results. And having agreed what the cornerstones are, Simon will be going into much more detail on the 24th of May as how we are going to actually achieve them. So totally bought into the four cornerstones and the objectives of the strategy. The detail of how we're actually going to get there, we'll be going into more detail in May.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Cheers.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Jean Roosh from Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I have four questions. The first one is a little bit more financial detail on the multi-channel strategy. Just if you could give us a bit of an update on what it's all costing to launch a new UK website and the 30 new overseas websites. You sort of implied that Mike Logue maybe had hired some new people as well. So if we could just get an idea of the cost of that. And then you mentioned that you had renegotiated 27 leases in the UK this year, and just to give us an idea of what sort of rent reductions you're getting with those, because historically, obviously, it's been very impressive, at 40% in some cases, and you know, to give us an idea of where that's trending now. And then on your central cost reduction, you talked about reducing UK head office payroll costs. Is that sort of headcount reduction as well as, or are there any pay cuts? Are there pension cuts? What sort of, what way will you, how will you achieve those cost savings? And then your cost of refinancing versus your cost of financing before. You talked about 2 to 2.5 million interest costs next year. But what does that mean? You know, have you had to pay a much higher rate with your refinancing from 80 to 90 million and extending the term? Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll run through those, Jean. Thank you. On the multi-channel costs, the new demand website in the UK is a quite an expensive website, but the costs are all in the current financial year, the one that's just gone, FY12. So it's all paid for in there. And it's around about £3 million of expenditure on that. The overseas website will be paid for by the franchise partners, and there's a relatively small amount of investment here, but it's a little bit like a franchise store, where they'll pay for the site and pay for the running costs of the site, and we'll take a royalty, so there's very little investment for us in that. On the rent renewals, 27 rent renewals, yes, we've been getting 40%. We're probably a little bit ahead of that now, but certainly no dramatic change in run rate. But maybe slightly better than that. On the central cost savings, on the 20 million, the 16% reduction is about role removal. That's all. We're in the consultation process at the moment with a target to remove that amount of cost out of the business. So it's role removal effectively around a smaller store portfolio and a smaller business. And finally, the cost of refinancing. I'm not going to go into it in detail on the call, but it's roughly about double the margin we were at for on the call. So I think that, it was about 1.5. It's up to 300 basis points because of the extra money and the extra term. So it's not a huge amount more, but it is. Will be more fully drawn, which is why the interest costs have gone up quite a lot.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, and we have a follow-up question from the line of Adam at UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. When I was looking at the sort of the 4 points of your plan, one bit that you mentioned at the interims was really improving things like the service offering. Will some of these cost savings be reinvested to improve your, you know, in-store staff training, advertising costs once you put these new prices in? You know, will there be a reinstatement of a staff bonus scheme, for example, to try and re-incentivise some of your in-store staff colleagues to get the same level of service across the estate? Will there be some reinvestment of these gains that we should maybe be aware of?
Yes, there will be reinvestment, but it's included in the number. That's a net number. So we've done a full line-by-line analysis throughout the 3 years, and you know, in that number we have allowed for additional training, and that's going at the moment. That's part of my short-term action plan that you said before. We're training a lot more on bra fitting and car seats in those key areas, so that's in there. including more investing more in the store environment, and again you'll hear more about that, and obviously training and bonus. So all of those are in there, and actually it's net of inflation as well, so it assumes an inflationary increase as well, the 20 million. So that is a net figure. You'll see the cost come down by that amount.
Okay, so that's including the underlying inflation within your store cost base, that 20 million?
Well, it's non-store, this is non-store overheads, but yes, it includes the underlying inflation.
Okay, well, what would you see your underlying store inflation looking at for the next sort of year?
I think probably, it depends on the minimum wage, you probably know more about it than me, but it tends to be about 2% mark. Rates are going up by about 5% this year. Rent are flat basically. If you've got an upwards only rent review, but if you have a chance to renegotiate, they're coming down by 40-50%.
Okay, so underlying costs, if you work on a 2% number, that'll be in the right ballpark.
For inflation, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. And our final question comes from the line of Andrew Wade from Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just a quick one from me. The 20 million of UK non-store overhead savings that you're talking about, I just wondered what is the quantum of the base which that's being taken from? You've obviously talked about the 16% of head office payroll, but in terms of that 20 million, what is that UK non-store overhead base that it's being taken from?
About 100 million. We'll split that down a bit more. We'll give a bit, and conscious that we don't give a lot of detail about our cost base, and obviously we'll be giving a bit more breakout of that in May, but it's about 100 million in total. A big chunk of it's distribution cost in that number, and a chunk of the 20 million savings is in distribution cost as well. So planning over the life of the plan to lose a distribution centre and to reduce distribution costs because of the reduced store base, particularly on early learning centre. So distribution is a big chunk of it, central payroll and costs, and marketing is in there as well. If you add all those together, it's about 100 million.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is that all the questions?
Yes, thank you. There are no further questions.
Excellent. Well, if I could just end the call now by saying how confident I am in the Mothercare brand. It's a world-class global brand with some great international partners. And I'm confident that we do have the right strategy to deliver a sustained recovery and long-term success. And I look forward to updating you in more detail with Simon and his team, including Neil, obviously, in May. Goodbye for now, and thank you for joining us.